Hi, my name is Anna Kuczynski, and I'm going to talk a bit about neighborhood organizing and anarchism.
Okay, and our second guest is Ace.
My name is Ace Carlton, and I'm up from Vermont in the U.S., and I'm involved with the Institute for Social Ecology down in Vermont, and I also organize the Sex and Gender Project, and I'm a part of the Free Society Collective in Plainfield, Vermont.
Okay, so we're going to have a very eclectic conversation. We're going to start with Anna, because Anna has to get back to the banner painting. And Anna and I were talking a little bit beforehand, and Anna's doing some very interesting work in St. Henry. So why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Actually, it's in Point St. Charles, which is the,
the
neighborhood just on the other side of the canal from St. Henry. And what we're doing actually is we're in the process of setting up a collective, a collectif libertaire, an anarchist collective. The objective of which is to do neighborhood political organizing outside of mainstream politics, and to reclaim political space in the neighborhood. That's sort of broadly, and the idea being that we've sort of identified two projects that we want to do. One is to there's a street in Point St. Charles that we want to transform into a green space, but not only just a green space. This is an urban working class neighborhood, so it doesn't have much green space. So but it's a place where people hang out on the streets and do actually, you know, bring out their chairs and talk in the neighborhood. So it's nice to create a space on the street where we with trees and maybe slow down the traffic. Encourage cyclists and things like that to create a space where people can chat on the street about politics, about neighborhood politics, and about what it means, creating sort of an agora. And at the same time, we're going to use the Conseil d'arrondissement, which is the space that was created by the decentralization, supposed decentralization of the municipal apparatus. And the idea being that we're going to go there en masse. So people from the neighborhood interested in setting up this project, the idea is we would go and invest the space, first of all, bring motions, proposals. They'll ignore us, because really all it is three people sitting in front of you, you know, debating while everyone listens. But when we make proposals, they ignore us. Then we make proposals to democratize that space, because now they do have $50 million that they manage at this level, which is the southwest of Montreal, including St. Henry. So the idea being that we would make proposals to democratize. If that didn't work, eventually just take over the meetings.
Okay.
So being the idea being to create spaces where people can, in public meetings, debate openly and about issues that touch them near their homes.
So who have you been working with on this?
We've been working I've been working with Marcel Sévigny, who is was municipal councillor for 15 years in Point St. Charles, independent municipal councillor. He quit in when they forced the mergers, demergers.
Yeah.
And he's now interested in inventing alternatives to electoral politics and representative democracy. So we've been working on that. And in Quebec too, we've been trying to, you know, create an interest in what the alternative is to our current system, because often we feel that we could fight it. We're always in reaction. And we're trying to need to figure out ways of, you know, experimenting in communities with the folks from that community.
You can jump in too, Ace, if you nodding vigorously.
Actually, it was the Social Ecology Institute has been working on stuff like that, I think, as well, because Cindy Milstein, we invited her last summer to come and speak to us about some of the organizing going on in Vermont, and we were very interested in some of the work that they were doing as well.
Something, the panel title is Anarchism and Communities, and you talked a bit about alternatives to the electoral system, and we were talking before about anarchists are alternatives to the state and to ways of organizing, and what kind of experience, I know you're at the beginning of this project, but what kind of experiences and what kind of principles are you putting in and getting out of this so far?
Well, I mean, my experiences now, are based on 5 years of organizing within the anti-globalization movement in affinity group style organizing. So that's where I came from thinking. Marcel Sévigny came more from the municipal. He's always been an anarchist trying to function for a while within the municipal apparatus, but he has now decided that that's not the way to go, and so he's there. I came from the anti-globalization movement, and having experimented with affinity group organizing, non-hierarchical organizing, direct democracy, that kind of organizing is the kind of organizing I want to experiment with, but in a geographical region, as opposed to, as well as in the movements that are in the social movements, you know? Because I come from, Pointe Saint-Charles is a neighborhood where there's been a long history of community organizing. It was an innovator in terms of, you know, the first people's clinics, the first legal clinics, the first groups around food security, the first popular education groups were set up in Pointe Saint-Charles. And so now I think that Pointe Saint-Charles should be one of the places where these kinds of experiments happen and get experimented with, which is, I hope it's happening elsewhere. And in Quebec, we're trying to also network people around that and hoping that people will be networked, because often it's done in isolation.
And let's just say that there are people from the Pointe who happen to be listening at this moment. How can they get in touch with you to find more and to put anarchy into action?
Well, I think probably the best thing to do would be to go to the Café de la Petite Gaule, which is 2525 Centre Street, right across from the metro. Well, people in Pointe Saint-Charles.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, well, that's mostly where we hang out, and which is itself a self-governed autogestion, a place. So the idea being also that in Pointe Saint-Charles, we would work on setting up a self-run cooperatives, collectives, more examples like Le Café de la Petite Gaule, which is an activist cafe that's run by its workers and by its members. There's also another cafe in the neighborhood that's run by the young mothers from the neighborhood. And eventually, we could have a laundromat, eventually we could have maybe a movie theater, run by the members and run by the folks for not-for-profit, right? So that's the whole idea. And there's also ideas about using, like they have in Ithaca, the Ithaca hours, so Pointe Saint-Charles hours, using a local exchange system on the street, on the main street, between the commerces. So those kinds of ideas, because Pointe Saint-Charles is a neighborhood where, that was very, very, it was like the industrial hub of Canada. Until the closure of the Lachine Canal, which is now being gentrified, and a lot of the factories went to the suburbs, so a lot of people are unemployed, and it's a place where it's interesting to set up alternative employment opportunities.
Okay, thanks. And speaking about pockets of resistance, we're going to move to ACE in Vermont. Can you start by maybe telling us a little bit about the Institute for Social Ecology?
Sure. Let's see. I'm trying to think of how I can best sort of synopsize the Institute. We've been around for close to 30 years, and we're founded by former anarchist theorist Murray Bookchin, who now doesn't necessarily identify as anarchist, but has a lot of ideas which are very relevant for anarchism and interesting. The Institute, I guess, sort of in my estimation, I can sort of only speak for myself. I have been a student there, and now I'm a teacher there. The folks, to me, that are the most sort of interesting and dynamic around the Institute are folks that, really find social ecology itself to be an interesting body of ideas, which are really challenging, really interesting critique, a really interesting reconstructive vision. But a lot of people draw from many, many different traditions and do many different kinds of projects. So, in short, we try to draw from the best of theory and create the best of theory and do the best of action. And, sort of it's a belief that within a really important thing within anarchism is the ability to reflect and to communicate with one another about not only what our strategies are as far as immediate things, but also what are our visions and how are we understanding what we're doing, and that piece is equally as important as action, and that we can't just sort of blindly do action, and we need to reflect and have both those pieces. So I think that's sort of one of the best things that the Institute for Social Ecology offers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the things that we were talking about when we first came up with this panel, anarchism and communities, it just seemed completely open-ended. And we really wanted to talk about queer issues and the links between the queer community and anarchism and what they bring into each other. And I know you've been working on that a bit up in Vermont. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about your project.
Sure. That's what I'm very, very excited about. Several things that I'm doing. First, with the Institute for Social Ecology, I'm interested in continuing to sort of push thinking, not just at the Institute, but also myself and my partner Tara have been touring and doing talks at different places around trying to draw connections between sex, gender, sexuality, and those movements, which are very socially based and often very identity based, and try to draw those connections to anti-authoritarian politics and anti-capitalist movements. So, and to try to make those connections really explicit. So in that, I taught a course at the ISE in the fall, which was Contesting the Naturalization of Sex and Gender, long title, but was about sort of basics of queer theory and connecting it to critiques of domination as well, anarchist sorts of ideas as far as power and capitalism. And the talks that we do focus on that as well and try to really ask us to not just, a quick sort of synopsis for me is, think about feminism, for example, and how in the 70s, and I can most clearly speak for the States, although, I have some experience with things in other places, but we had a big category of woman, which everyone said, sort of like the global worker under Marxism, that it was this large category that everyone was supposed to be able to fit under, and that's what feminism was, and there were just women and men, and that was it. So obviously the many, many challenges that came to that identity category during the 80s, race, et cetera, disability, and, recently very strongly trans and genderqueer movements. So to me, I want to both begin to articulate feminism, transgender, queer, genderqueer, all of those things to each other in terms of more of an understanding of systems of sex and gender oppression which affect all of us, that it's not simply a marginalized identity group that needs to gain rights or just needs to be recognized as a diversity, quote-unquote, within anarchist groups, that these are structures which affect actually everyone and that it's a part of our struggles to create a better society. And so that's the first part. And then the second part is, how does capitalism relate with all of this? And you think about things like, I don't know if folks know the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy show, but it's quite an alarming television show in the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they, these five gay men, go to this house of this straight guy and they say, oh, look at your outfit, this is terrible, look at your food, and they basically have all these products, and it's not simply the products that they're selling, it's the lifestyle of being a hip gay man that they're selling. And it's really the hit of the show. It's amazing. So looking at the links between queer commodification and, current trends within capitalism in terms of increasing penetration into our personal lives, into lifestyles and cultures. So what I'm really interested in is asking us to go beyond simply an analysis of difference or understanding, queers or trannies or whoever as being, these people who are different among us that we just need to accept and understand. But instead, that is very easily commodified under capitalism, and that's sort of actually what capitalism is going for right now. So anyway, I do this chart, which is really useful. This theorist, Roger Lancaster, who wrote a book and summarizes Gramsci and a number of other people, but looks at sort of the trends, the changes from in the U.S., the Fordist time, into the sort of post-Fordist capitalism, and the changes that has wrought culturally are really significant. And I just really think that as anarchists, we need to be grappling with that in our movements directly. So
I really wish we had hours and hours.
I know, I'm sorry, I'm going on and on.
No, I want you to. I see the next people are waiting, but just before we end, I was wondering if you could talk just for a minute or two about some of the links between anti-authoritarianism and the queer movement.
Mm-hmm. And the queer movement? Wow. Well, can you be a little more specific? I'm like, oh, geez.
Well, at the when we were talking just at the beginning, when you started describing your project, you were saying that you saw very clear links between anti-authoritarianism and then maybe the queer movement is the wrong word for it, but just queer identity and gender identity. And I'm just wondering how, because oftentimes in Montreal, anyways, the queer movement is very separate from the anarchism movement.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of starting to merge together now. And we're starting to explore some of these links right now. So I was just wondering if you could speak to that for a few minutes.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, queer obviously has a specific tradition which was reacting against or maybe going beyond, I don't know what the right phrase is, but sort of gay and lesbian identities and even bisexual identities. That queer was a movement that both existed in the academy and also in, like, activism and just folks on the ground, whatever, who were really interested in having a radical perspective on gender and on sexuality, and that it was not actually something that was understood as a fixed, you know, essential identity that someone has. It's a way of being that, you know, approaches sex and gender in a much more radical, fluid, changing, a sense that people can develop and change and grow among that. And it's, to me then, I mean, a much more, again, radical, less essentialized and located within an particular identity category. So to me, I'm like, I want to continue to take that tradition of queer and what that meant, which was really breaking down boundaries, and having an idea of how, in a sense, perhaps we're all queer, or what does that look like, you know, and obviously not in everyday ways, you know, there's people who experience certain things that other people don't, but, you know, I think that, again, conceiving of it as a system which we're under, which is dominating, connects to anarchists, to me, you know, it's a critique, anarchists critique, you know, culture and society at large, domination at large, and I think that, you know, queer can offer a particular critique which is useful to that general one, and vice versa.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Ace. That was wonderful. It's great having you here.
Thanks, Tamara.
And I see the next panel crowding around.